This is the Sit Down with Olwethu Lishabane, a podcast for women everywhere who are exploring the art of superwoman.
Welcome to the Sit Down with Olwethu Lishabane. Today we're talking the Sit Down Parenting with Yasmin Omar. Our topic is using play therapy to decipher the emotions behind your child's behavior. No one can really say they've mastered the art of parenting. We learn different things about raising our children every single day. Understanding our children's emotions behind their behavior can be quite tricky. Children don't always have the language that us adults are skilled with to communicate how we're feeling, and therefore they tend to act up using their emotions instead. As a result, it's easy for us as parents to misinterpret or completely miss these verbal and sometimes nonverbal cues. On this week's edition of the Sit Down Parenting, we explore play therapy with educational psychologist Yasmin Omar, as she provides insights on why this expressive technique is a valuable tool in helping us as parents to respond to our children's emotions and behavior in a way that will build their character. Yasmin Omar is an educational psychologist, former teacher and lecturer, and now working within school settings and in private practice. She has extensive experience with learners from primary to tertiary level. Yasmin has shared her professional advice and opinions on a range of topics across different media platforms. Her passion lies in assisting students, parents, and teachers over their hurdles and discovering their strengths. Welcome to the Sit Down. Thank you so much for joining us, Yasmin.
This is the Sit Down with Olwethu Lishabane, a podcast for women everywhere who are exploring the art of superwoman.
So let's start by breaking down what exactly is play therapy and how does it work?
Well, play therapy is a therapy mode that psychologists use in order to assist children through challenges or difficult situations. It's either directive or non-directive, and it helps children and families to get in touch with their emotions, to work through issues or blocks that they may be experiencing. So very, very simply, it's just playing with the child, observing, and you direct the play according to whatever theme you may want to, or whatever issue you may be working with. So it works together with toys, with stories, with anything that's creative and expressive. So you can even have in Play-Doh, sand, crayons, drawings, and while we're doing, we are watching through for certain issues.
And is this kind of therapy accessible and popular as a form of therapy in South Africa?
Yes. So some are trained at university already, and those who are not will have to go. That's some that will be counselors and psychologists. Occupational therapists also use it. Physios also use it. So anyone working with children, they could also use it. So you either go for a formal training, or it could be part of your training as you in your postgrad degree. So it is very popular. I mean, it's extremely, extremely helpful because play is the most natural thing that comes to children, you know. And once you watch them and observe them in their so-called natural environment where they are comfortable around toys and so on, there are certain things that come to light. Say if a child has been through a certain trauma. Okay, so you would use lots of cars, you would use the whole scene, you'd put in a mom and a dad and so on and take the child through the whole thing and watch their reaction and watch what they are saying and see if either they are actively angry or upset, or are they dissociating from the whole issue. So those are the simple kind of things that you can do for very traumatic events.
And when
you could use storytelling.
And how effective is play therapy as opposed to other therapies, especially for children?
Look, you don't have to use play therapy on its own. You can use it with other modes of therapy as well. So it's a very, very versatile tool for a psychologist or a counselor to have in their toolbox. It's a very versatile tool because you are directing it, you are shaping it, or you can just sit back and watch. And it's amazing the amount of things or the amount of issues that you can pick up. It's quite amazing, especially as a child verbalizes when they play, you know. So it is very, very good.
And is play therapy broad in terms of its use? Can you use it for any child with, or is it for children with specific needs or a specific age group? And how do you then distinguish if a child needs play therapy to when they need a different kind of therapy?
Okay. So the normal age group, they would say, most literature says 3 to 12. But children play from a very, very young age. So you can even watch a child who has just started walking or has just started interacting with their environment below the age of 3. If they have a fear for dogs, for example, and you introduce a puppy into it, you know, they cannot speak and whatever. You can watch their reaction towards it. Would they go forward? Or if they had a bad incident with a dog, would they then move away from it? You know, so it can be used on younger children as well. It can be used in older teens as well. So it does not have to be a special for a special mindset. You can use it with teens. You just bring about more mature toys, or you use things even like your normal snakes and ladders and so on. And as you're going through, you build up goals. So you can work around existing board games for older children. So, I mean, board games adults even play. So you can even work around that. With adults and the families, it brings them together. And it could get them talking about serious issues. So you have directional games as well. So with cards that have interesting questions, maybe something, maybe around the issue that they want to talk about or the family is avoiding. So you can use it throughout, even with adults, through any traumatic incident or any block that they want to get through, a communication block, or say it's the white elephant in the room that no one's really addressing, and you subtly build it up to that. It could be used in those ways as well.
I mean, in the home as well, when you're using play therapy as a way to just communicate through blocks, how can you kind of, not in a professional way, but use play and painting out scenarios as a way to have family discussions or break the kind of miscommunication between parents and children?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. So the one thing that we are so connected with technology right now, that the vocal communication, the verbal communication is rather difficult for families to maintain. I find that that's quite a huge gap now in many, many households. So yes, if you have a game night, okay, and you slowly break away for that child who wants to control or always has a competitive streak that wants to win, okay, then you would see that in your child when you are playing games and so on. So that would come out, help your child work through that. Then you could point it out. If it's an older understanding child, you could point it out, or then you could seek professional help to assist the child get through that challenge. Or if it's a younger child and you want to do paintings, okay, so tell me who's in your family. Draw for me our family. Okay, and then you would notice the dynamics. Who's closest to the child? Who's the child? Who's the first person that the child draws? How much of information or how aware the child is of their likes and dislikes? So, say mom likes wearing headgear, then the child may put on headgear. Or say dad is always with his cell phone, then that would come out in the child's drawings and so on. You know, so you could direct that and say, let's draw our family and let's draw their favorite things next to them. So you can also pick up from what a child is observing.
Yeah. And I mean, this form of therapy, can it be used as a way to teach coping mechanisms as well and to redirect inappropriate behaviors, or is it just to see what the issues are and then to find a different therapy in being able to then get the coping mechanisms and redirect the inappropriate behaviors?
It helps identify. It's a very good observation tool. Okay. And but if you want to redirect it, and then you can also do that, then you don't have non-directive play. You direct the whole thing. Then you would choose as a therapist the the tools that are going to be there. Is it going to be Lego blocks? Is it going to have, are you going to work with a dollhouse? Are you going to work with anatomically correct dolls in the case of rape or sexual abuse and so on, and then take it from there? You know, so you can work either way. Then with the older child, you could have your games going up to another level, okay, where your questions and your statement cards and so on, that helps the child. Okay, let's go and find tools right now. You could have your iPad right there, okay? The child will eventually realize, hey, I'm being the boss here. I'm being the difficult one here. Then you take your laptop and you say, okay, let's look at tools that can help you. So there's lots of things they can do. It is so versatile.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And if your child has been diagnosed with mental or physical illness, does play therapy also, does it replace the medicine? Does it replace some kind of treatment, or is it a supplement?
No, it does not replace medicine. It does not replace any other medical procedure. What it helps would help, what it would help though with is coping. So say a young child needs to go in for removal of teeth. So before the child goes in, you do the whole scenario with the child. Okay, let's say now we're going to go in and I'm going to be the dentist. I'm going to be the doctor. And then so you play that role, put on the white coat and so on and say, hi, I'm the doctor and so on. And what is it that you are in here for today? Oh, is it your tooth? Oh, you are scared. Oh, tell me, what are you scared about? And so mommy should have all the answers, or daddy should have all the answers already. Okay, and we're going to do this. Now you're going to lay down here. And then I'm going to open up your mouth and I'm going to look at your teeth and see which one is giving you problems. So you are role playing the entire thing. Mm-hmm. So it can help, especially with those children who are emotionally very tight about the whole thing, very emotionally wrought, overwrought, or even your low functioning children who like to know what's going to happen so there's no surprises. So it can work like that, but it will definitely not replace medicine.
Okay. And can you share some techniques perhaps, especially during this pandemic? I think a lot of our children are frustrated but don't know how to voice it, and a lot of parents don't know how to start that conversation with children about how they feel right now. And I know some parents want to be able to seek the professional help, but they don't know where to start. So how do you start this play therapy? And have a technique on starting and then identifying what the issue is and being able to then communicate with a professional.
Okay, so firstly, in the home, especially with COVID, I hope most parents went through the whole how to put on your mask, remove your mask, sanitization, and so on. I hope parents did that. If not, the teachers did it at school already. I mean, most children at school already into it. I mean, if you watch children, if you get into the schools, you would see that it's the norm.
I'm much better at it than I am.
Yeah, and they will tell you, ma'am, social distancing, you know, or here's the sanitizer. Oh, no, don't worry, I have my own. Mm-hmm. So it's become the norm now. They have adapted very, very easily to it. And even with the younger ones, I mean, most schools were very, very concerned about the social distancing. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the classrooms are set out where we are skipping one desk, or we've put markers around the desk, and this is your area, and that's the next person's area. And even on the playground, they sit on a star, and the stars are placed strategically away from one another, or little balloons and so on that teachers have drawn on the floor. So that you already see that they've adapted to that already. Even if you watch them get down onto the field, you will watch them that even they are talking, there's no more the one where they are holding one another's hands and so on. So they've embraced that. They've adapted very, very nicely. So in terms of that at home, I think the one thing that is missing is what happens when one of us are tested positive, and how do we quarantine? What is quarantine? If your friend is positive, what do you need to do? And so on. I think that's the only thing that's fallen short on in the homes. Most parents need to speak to their children about it. And they're very quick to pick on your anxieties as well. So when you are saying it, make sure you know you have all the answers. Or if you don't, it's quite fine. Say, let's find out and Google it. You know, so speak about it. That communication is very, very important. So with COVID and so on, enforce the rules. President said such and such thing. Now we've gone down to level one. This is what it means. So once again, coming back to what I've started off with, communication is quite important. And then take it from there. So for those parents who want to decide whether their child needs therapy and so on, I think you know your child best. Your teachers know your child best. Consult. I'm worried about, for example, approach my so-and-so, my child, Amy, for example, is she's not sleeping. Her sleeping is erratic right now. And I'd like to figure out what is happening. Ask the teacher, has the teacher noticed anything different from the child's normal behavior? And then what do you think you should do? If there's a school counselor, all the better. There's a psychologist in the school, all the better. Then you just refer and the professional will take it from there. If you want to find out which therapist to send your child through, if it's an educational issue, it will be, or it's pertaining to the school or anything that's upsetting their academics, then you would go educational psychologist. Okay. If it's something that you think is much more major, now your doctor will be able to point this out. For example, depression, anxiety, and so on, and the child needs medication, like for ADHD and so on, then you have to go to a clinical psychologist. Otherwise, or even a psychiatrist. Otherwise, you can go to a counseling psychologist or even just a registered counselor for your everyday issues that you want to have your child work through. And in the intake interview, the psychologist will be able to tell you, okay, you've come to the right person, I can help you or not. So look for who's closest to you. We have lots of therapists listed. Even if you go to your shopping centers, as you're driving through the neighborhood, you'll see their signs up and so on. Go to who's closest to you, because, I mean, you are going to have to meet with them at least once a week. So you don't want to choose someone on the other end of town and worry about traffic and so on. Yeah. So that would be the way to go.
And what's your response to sometimes the argument, especially amongst African parents, thinking that, you know, the children will be fine. They'll outgrow whatever they're going through. They don't need therapy.
We've got to realize that the reality or this new generation is quite different from mine or even yours, okay, where our focus was different and our play was different. You must know that they are exposed to much more than we were. And I think parents need to accept that and they need to put their feelers out for that. Children are more emotionally aware, they're more socially aware from watching TV, from the type of programs that they have. I mean, if you watch the Disney Channel, if you watch any of their programs and so on, you will see how children open up and identify issues in the environment, in the community, amongst their friends and so on. It's a real eye-opener. Get into what your child is watching. Even Paw Patrol has issues and so on that bring out. Even Pooh and Tigger, you know, all of those have issues that come out, and children latch onto these, and they're much more aware, and they're much more vocal about it. And you are spending more time around adults than children, because if you are living in a complex, your children get a space to play that's a little bit more secure. However, if you are a working mom and dad, your child is in the house, and what the child is watching and who the child is conversing with in the afternoons, they are more adult conversations. So children are going to pick up on a whole lot of these things. So I think you need to be able to identify that our situations are different. We are living in urban communities right now. We're living in towns and cities where the realities are different, and children are not only occupied with play. They're at a very young age already competitive, already understanding the dynamics of the classroom in terms from as young as grade R as to who your friends are and who aren't and so on. And all of these things build up the child. So don't say that the child's going to now get over it. How's the child going to get over it? I mean, even if the child has a flu, you have to help the child with medication. So understand that mental awareness is something not to be shy about. We are here to help. Psychologists are readily available all over the place. So reach out and help. It is an illness as well. So treat it like a medical one and ask for help. And they would be able to tell you if it's serious or not, or it's something that's going to be long-term or not. So I think we need to move away from that stigma, really.
Thank you so much, Jasmine. This is so informative. And if you can just give us as well where you are based and how we can get hold of your services.
Okay, so I'm based in Westcliff in Johannesburg, and my email address is edpsych@gmail.com. And yes, you can even Google me. I'm on, and contact me by email or my telephone number, which is 073-303-7786.
Thank you so much. Truly appreciate you taking the time out to come answer some of these questions that were very curious.
Thank you so much. So much interest in all of this. I think we need to create awareness, and we need to get people to understand that you do need assistance. I mean, we are so involved in our work and so on. You need someone, a professional, to come in and say, hey, let me just get right into this. I know what I'm doing. I have enough experience and so on, and go for it. Thank you so much for creating awareness.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Sit Down with Olwethule Shabane, a podcast for women everywhere who are exploring the art of superwoman. You've been listening to The Sit Down with Olwethule Shabane, a podcast for women everywhere who are exploring the art of superwoman.